All right, everybody, welcome on back here to Simple Faith Baptist Church, where the Bible changes us. We do not change the Bible. Brother Carlos here, we want to thank God for all of you who are able to make it back out for the midweek Bible study. Friend, I'm not sure about you, but I know that I need an encouragement through the midweek as I face the world, as I face all the temptation from the world, as I go through everything going on. It's always good to get back with the family of God, centered on the Word of God, and that way we can continue to learn more how to be like the Son of God. Amen. So welcome back to church. Want to thank God for our visitor tonight. Amen. We have Javier visiting with us, so praise the Lord. Thank you so much for coming. Hope tonight is a blessing to you. And we're just going to go over some quick announcements. You can kind of catch up on what's going on here. So anytime you can visit our church website online, and you'll see what's going on, what we're doing throughout the week, if you will. So we're just going to go over that now. And so, guys, don't forget on the calendar tab, tomorrow is our every other Thursday off. We're not going to go soul winning downtown at the beach. We're going to have our marriage discipleship class. If you'd like to join us, you're more than welcome to. Friday night discipleship class. And then Saturday, remember, the last Saturday of the month, we're going to take the soul winning Saturday off for the following Saturday. Church, don't forget this Sunday, the 28th, our special guest speaker is coming down from Corona, and so it's going to be a huge blessing. Please come and show some love, Brother Shannon Scott. I've been in correspondence. He's very excited to come. I want to invite you to come here and be on time for the Sunday school because his son, Brother Anthony, is going to be doing the Sunday school, and then he's going to do the Sunday service. I want to introduce you to his son. He's a really cool dude. He just came back from Africa on a mission trip, so I'm hoping that you guys would get a blessing meeting new friends. He's another young brother just like us. Amen. So like I said, tomorrow is canceled, and remember, Saturday is canceled. Just want to let you guys know that. So comments, questions. Marriage discipleship classes are at 7 o'clock, 6:30 for the dinner. Okay, study blogs. These are articles that I create for you for your Christian edification. These are great devotions that I create for you for your edification. So brothers and sisters, please avail yourself. If you have any question, if you have a Bible question other than Friday night that you want me to answer for you, maybe give a little illustration and give you a little tract, I'll do that for you because I love doing it. That's my gift that the Lord gave me to teach, if you will. And then I just gave Brother Giovanni, and I'm going to give Brother Felipe one of these recent articles that I just made. This is a New Testament reference from the book of Acts all the way to the book of Revelation of every individual convert of the apostles, and then where churches were started and where they're from. So right now, Brother Giovanni has at his disposal every single person who got saved in the New Testament and where their churches were from and where they're at. So now you have it available to you, and I want to equip the men of our church with the wisdom from the Word of God to help them in their studies. So next time that his wife says, hey, Giovanni, can you tell me who got saved in Rome? Boom, I got it for you right here, wife. Rufus and Syncritus and all those cool guys. All right, there you have it. So that's for you guys. Amen. So I just want to encourage you. Sisters, if you guys want that, just email, let me know, and I'll give you a printout to you. All right, sisters. So I just want to let you guys know that we're on YouTube. We're on Facebook. We're on podcasts. If you need prayer, please submit those when you get a chance. If not, call Brother Carlos for the men. Call Sister Katie for the wife. And then church, last but not least, remember, if you're a member of this church, please remain faithful in whatever you purpose on your heart to give of your finances to support this local church. If this has been a blessing to you, and if this is your home church, then let's continue to invest to support it so we can continue in what we want to do for the Lord. So you can give back there in the box or online between you and the Lord. Amen. And then we'll just leave it at that. We started a little late. We had a friend to help out in a time of need, and we met her need. Amen. So God willing, we'll be able to still enjoy enough of our Bible study together. All right. So with that said, let's continue with our part two of He Who Has Ears to Hear, Let Him Hear. Today, I'm going to make it a little easy for you just for the sake of time. We're going to have the Bible on the screen. But nevertheless, I hope you brought your own Bible back to church. Amen. That way y'all can continue where we left off. So who remembers the three elements, if you will, the three directions or the three points of wisdom we learned from last week? What are those? And I know that Sister Maribel remembers, amen, because she was on fire. She actually was taking notes. How about that? Anybody remember the three? Who remembers the three? We have to... You got it. Almost there. No. That's due. Who can help him? He showed you. Read. So read the Bible, learn the Bible, and then do what the Bible tells you to do. There you have it. So we're going to read, we're going to learn, and then we're going to do whatever we learn to do from the Bible. So if you will, we're doing a little quick mini-series before we return back through our Bible study through the book of Acts, and we're just talking to you about the importance of reading the Bible every single day and learning what the Bible says, if you will, and then doing, if you will, thereafter, what the Bible shows you to do, my friend. And I'll just quickly summarize it for you before we continue in our notes. But if you want to get to the place that we're going to go to, go ahead and turn your Bible to the book of Exodus chapter 24, and then we will start there. Exodus chapter 24, and then we'll get there. But I'm just going to quickly summarize for those of you who are just coming back here, and then also a quick reminder. So remember, we learned last week that God wants every single Christian to read the Bible as often as you could, as much as you could. If you want to be blessed, day and night. If you want to be blessed biblically, I can prove that to you. Psalm chapter 1, I'll show you later. Day and night, you want to read that Bible. How much should I read the Bible, Brother Carlos? Read as much as you want to grow in, amen? If you want to grow a little, read a little. If you want to grow a lot, read a lot. How about that? You say, where is that in the Bible? That's just Brother Carlos, amen. The Lord will help you with the rest of that. What else did we learn from last week's study? That when we love self more than Jesus, we hate him because we love him less. When we put family ahead, our work ahead, our children ahead, if you will, of any excuse we give to God of why we can't read the Bible or why we can't invest more of a personal quality time with him, according to Jesus, when we love self or love others more, unfortunately, those times we hate him because what we're telling God is, God, I love me more, I love family more, work more than you, and that's why I can't read your Bible, that's why I can't go to church on time, and that's why I can't be consistent. So we just learned that last week, and we learned that Jesus wants to bless those that not only hear the Word of God, but do it, like Brother Giovanni Felipe said in Luke 11:28. We showed you that from last week. Jesus said that if a man loved me, he'll keep my words, John 14:23-24. But he that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And that's what we talked to you about last week, that your love for Jesus is going to be made manifest to others outside by you doing the word of God. Your hatred towards Jesus is going to be made manifest to them that are outside by you not doing the word of God. And so that's how we can tell, brother and sister, if you love God, because you're keeping his commandments. If you just say, oh, I believe in God, I got my relationship with Jesus, but you're not doing anything of the word of God, you don't love him, brother and sister. We're just keeping it honest. We're just keeping it biblical. And we want to show you tonight from the Bible how you can actually start loving him by doing what he said for you to do. Remember last time we talked about hearing. If you hear his voice, Hebrews 3, the Bible says there in verse 7, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. You can read that later in Hebrews 3:15. He wants to speak with you. He wants to talk with you. He wants to get your attention. He wants to minister to you the best he can, if you will, whenever you avail yourself to hear the word of God. Amen. And then what else did we learn from last week's study? Remember about the heart. Though unfortunately, when we don't meditate upon the word of God and we don't avail ourselves to private devotion on the word of God, remember, our heart can be turned to the right or to the left. And if you want to know how God can direct your steps and to guide your decision making, Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto your own understanding. And the Bible promised you, in all thy ways, if you acknowledge him, he shall direct thy paths. And so when you put him first and you put the word of God ahead, God said he will direct your paths, but you got to trust him, brother and sister. I taught you last week about bringing thoughts to captivity when they are contrary to Christ in Corinthians 10, verse 5. I taught you last week that when you begin to blame your spouse, your government, the black man, the white man of why you sin and why you don't do what God told you to do, I told you that's not their fault. It's yours, James chapter 1. We are led astray when we are tempted of our own sin. The Bible says, do not err, my beloved brethren. So tonight, let's continue to have ears to hear, hopefully, and most of all, a heart to want to do now what we're going to learn tonight. The Bible said that we're blessed if we do those things. Now, Exodus chapter 24, let's go ahead and read together now. Hope you have your Bible open. Exodus chapter number 24. We're going to read starting in verse number 7. And don't forget, friend, the whole Bible is inspired by God and it's preserved. And the Bible is profitable if you willingly have a heart to hear it, receive it, and most of all, obey it. So we're going to learn a lot of spiritual lessons from the Old Testament again today. It's all God's Word. It's all good. Amen. It's all profitable. So let's go ahead and do that now. Exodus chapter 24, verse number 7. We're going to read, and then we'll pray. Exodus 24, verse number 7. The Bible says, and he took the book of the covenant and read. in the audience of the people, and they said, all that the Lord hath said will we do, and be obedient. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you once again. We start a little late today, God, but it's a blessing to be here, Lord, to serve the saints in their times of need. Lord, I pray your Holy Spirit would prepare our hearts to receive the word of God. Lord, I pray that you would help us to have eyes to see, ears to hear, but most importantly, a heart to desire you, a heart to be willing to obey what we learned today from the Bible. God, I thank you for all those that came to church tonight. They could have been anywhere else of their free will, liberty, but they came to church. But Lord, I hope they came for Jesus, because I can't offer them nothing, God. I'm a sinner. I'm a wretched man. But I believe in Jesus. We believe in Jesus here at this church, and we know that he's alive. And the Bible says we're two or more gathered, that you're in the midst, my Lord. So Lord, I know you're here with us now. If any has a heart that is burdened, would they cast it upon you even now in prayer? If any is struggling, would they cast it upon you in prayer? And if anybody is doing good, joyful, may they share praise reports and words of admonition and wisdom with other brethren, as we learn from our men's fellowship that we can care one for another. Tonight, God, we also want to pray for my friend Stephen's father. He's in the hospital as we speak. Lord, we pray that you would help be with his father, God. Please have your hand of mercy upon his body, his heart, as it's failing. It's not functioning as it ought. Give the family wisdom, God, as they respond to the doctors and all the staff trying to convey the medical terminology. Help them to understand. And we just pray that you would help that man have peace over his body at this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Bible says that Moses took the Book of the Covenant and read in the audience of the people. And what did they all say, church? We will do and be obedient. Now, this is right after the Lord descended on the top of the mountain to publicly speak to the entire nation of Israel. You don't have to turn there. I'll just show you on the screen for the sake of time. Back here in Exodus chapter 19, you can read this on your own time. God told Moses, bring everybody here. And so everybody comes to the mountain, and they all are before the mountain. And before you know it, the Bible says that God came down from heaven. He came up on the top of that mountain. There was a trumpet. There was some great heavenly noise that was beginning to prepare the people for the declaration, if you will, the word of God to be commenced. And before you know it, God began to talk to all the nation of Israel before Moses and began to let them know his laws. And so he began to speak from the top of the mountain, if you will. And then the Bible says later on in Exodus 24 in verse 4, Moses wrote all the words of the Lord, rose up early in the morning, and then look at verse number 7, what we read tonight. He read in the audience of the people, and then what did they say? Everything that God said, we're going to do and be obedient. But there's always an afterwards. Go down with me to the end of the chapter, Exodus 24. Look with me now. The Bible says that Moses went into the midst of the cloud and got him up into the mountain. Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. Now, before you guys go ahead of me, if you will, how many of you guys think that right after you saw God come down from heaven, I mean, if for those of us who say, I need to see to believe, I mean, you literally saw God. He came down. You saw his throne, if you will. You saw the glory. You saw the heavenly doors open for the coming of Almighty God. And he's speaking to you, and you're on the bottom of the mountain there. You can feel his presence. You can see the darkness. You can see his glory. You can hear him saying, I'm God. I exist. Here's what I want you to do. How many of you guys would just, for the rest of your life that is living on the earth, how many of you guys would have been willing to just say, okay, he's real. He's right there. I am dedicated. I am not going to go back to Egypt. I'm not going to live like I used to live. How many of you guys would have been excited to do that? Just raise your hand. How many of you guys? But what's the story? What's the reality? 2 months. 2 months after they said, God, whatever you said, we will do. What took place? Go with me now to Exodus chapter number 20. Let's go to Exodus chapter 20, right over here, 32. Exodus chapter 32, what just took place, my friend? Just 2 months after, the Bible says, when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods, which shall go before us. And then before you know it, they made a god, if you will. They made it out of gold, and they fashioned it after a cow. Look at that verse number 4. And so what happened? They began to rise up early in the morning, and they began to offer up sacrifices to this cow, and they began to drink and party, and they began to play around and have sex and do all that crazy stuff. 2 months later. 2 months later. I just want us to think about this for a second. How many sinners call upon God to save their soul through Jesus, and shortly after going to church, they begin to let God know everything they're going to stop doing? And they attempt to make a special promise or agreement with God, you know, make a little deal with God. You know, Lord, if you just do this for me, God, and I promise I'll stop drinking if you just, hopefully the girl's not pregnant, God. Hopefully the man doesn't say this. Hopefully no one finds out what I did or who I am. And I promise, God, I'll read my Bible. I'll go to church. I'll start tithing. I'll start giving money. And how many of you guys were there? How many of us would say that, honestly, in the back of our heart, you don't have to raise your hand, how many of us would be have been guilty of, just like the Hebrew Israelites saying, we will do, 2 months later, we're partying, because of those agreements, if you will, that we try to make with God, fill in the blank. How many of us, just after 2 months, after getting saved, going to church, 6 months, maybe a year, maybe two, we break our end of the promise? Anyone here? Well, church, I used to be like that a long time ago. I was too ignorant of Bible doctrine concerning how God desired to teach me how to live upright and through whom he wanted to teach me to help me. He gave me a pastor. He gave me a church family. But when I neglected reading his word, the only other alternative I had for meditation was my thoughts, my feelings, and the world. And how many know by now that that ain't good? Let me give you guys a quick side nugget on why we need to be meditating upon the word of God day and night. And this is why Moses needed to read the word of God daily to the people, because the people's hearts would be quick to turn to the right hand and turn to the left hand. And then I'm going to give you a little quick side nugget. This is why God gave you a pastor, gave you a church so you can be a part of, so that way you are hearing the word of God. You are learning the word of God to keep you on the straight and narrow. So just for a second, let me just share with you a couple of verses. You don't have to turn there for the sake of time. I'm just going to go there. About meditating upon the word of God, why we need to meditate. Joshua chapter 1, I'm just going to go through these quickly. The Bible says in verse number 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. You know what God taught Israel a long time ago? I gave you my law, I gave you my words, so you can have good success while you live on this planet. Everything that's written down in that Bible is written for your good, for your profit, if you just trust me and let me teach you, friend. You got to meditate on it. You got to meditate on it. Psalm chapter 19, I'm just going to read this quickly. The Bible says, friend, in Psalm 19, verse number 14, talking about meditation, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. I just have a quick side nugget to share on that. I wonder how many of our prayers go unanswered or unheard, not because God doesn't want to hear or listen, but because the moment that you're about to pray before you eat your food, the Holy Spirit saw everything you were meditating on the entire day and had nothing to do with God. Look at what he says, and the meditation of my heart be acceptable. Before you eat, some of y'all pray. I get that. That's a good thing. I'm glad that you're praying before the unbeliever so they can see at least you have some reverence for God. But let's be honest, brother and sister, what were you meditating on all day? Were we meditating on God? Or were we meditating upon the lust of our flesh, the lust of our eyes? Were we thinking too much about a girl or a guy or perhaps the old lifestyle? Or did you have some of your Bible preaching in the back of your MP3 right there in the phone, Brother Felipe getting that text message from Brother Carlos, boom, that little MP3 player you can listen to preaching. Were you listening to teaching? Were you listening to the Bible in the background? Or were you not? And then by the end of the night, yeah, you're going to have dinner. You might read a chapter or two, you know, if you're spiritual, maybe three verses. You say, God, would you bless me? But all day long, you weren't even meditating upon him. Is that acceptable with God? I just want you to think about that, friend. That's all. Just a thought. Psalm 63, it's convicting, I know. Trust me, I'm Brother Moat. Verse number 6, it hits me first because I study this thing. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. Before you sleep, you should meditate upon God. When you wake up, you should meditate upon God. You should thank God for the day he gave you and thank God for the end of the day he gave you. Many of you made it today. Praise God. Some of you could have died yesterday. Some of you should have died years ago, but God granted you another day of life and breath. Can you just thank him before you go to sleep and say, God, thank you. God, thank you for breath of life. Thank you for the gift of food. You might not know all the Bible yet. That's okay. But if you can just say, God, thank you. I know that you exist. I just want to begin to redirect my heart back to you, the life giver. I think that'll be better for your friend than not meditating on him versus watching YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, whatever you be meditating on before you go to sleep. That ain't going to help you. Psalm 77, verse number 12, the Bible says here, I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. When you're meditating on God, do you share about what you're meditating with others around you to let them know? Or do you share whatever else you're meditating on around you? Do you let them know as well? Psalm 119, verse number 15, the Bible says here, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. Psalm 119, go down with me a little bit later, verse number 23. Some of you might say, Brother Carlos, what am I supposed to do when people are talking bad about me or against me at work, my spouse, my children, someone else around here? Look at what he says. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Why don't you just think about the word of God? That way you don't think about their words to hurt your feelings. Anybody here? That's what I needed to do the other day. Someone misunderstood a certain thing and they hit me up. Do you have a problem with such and such? I said, no, of course not. Why would you think that? There was a misunderstanding. I could have meditated upon my flesh. I could have thought about my feelings and my pride started kicking in. Who's this guy? Who does he think he is? Come on, are you kidding me? Wait a second. Let me meditate upon the word of God. What does it say? Charity. I just preached that last Sunday. I just taught about forgiveness. It's not a big deal. Brother Carlos, you know a little bit more Bible than this fellow. Don't let his little insecurities get you. I know. So see, I'm right there with you guys. I'm right there with you. There's the answer. Meditate upon his word. When you're going through opposition, it's going to be better than the TikTok, the social media, and all that other stuff that ain't going to help your soul. Keep going in the same chapter, 97. Just look up to the screen. Psalm 119, verse 97. The Bible says here, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. And then later on in verse number 99, by the way, Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible, and it is the most blessed because the brother is just meditating on the word. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. Brother and sister, I have a question for you. Do you want to try and learn more Bible than your pastor or teacher? Then meditate upon his Bible day and night. Less cell phone, more Bible. Less TV, more Bible. Less TikTok, social media, Instagram, Facebook, fill in the blank with, I don't even know what these youth are talking about nowadays. The young kids are talking about some other stuff I had no idea that exists. Less of that, more Bible. You know what might just happen? You might know a little bit more. I don't know about you, friend, but when I started reading my Bible day and night, I started to memorize scripture. And then when my pastor was teaching something or someone and I could hear, oh, they taught this, or oh, there's a mistake there. Why? I'm just meditating upon his Bible. That's all I'm doing. It's good for you. All right, 1 Timothy chapter 4 for the New Testament Christian. Let me share this with you quickly. You can just look up to the screen. 1 Timothy chapter 4, look with me now in verse number 15. The Bible says, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. You know what's going to happen when you begin to meditate more upon the Bible? Your life is going to change. Others are going to visibly see you spending more time with Jesus. You know what happens when you spend more time with Jesus? You start looking more like him. You start talking more like him. You start thinking more like him. You start walking more like him. But the less time you spend with Jesus, that's just flesh, man. No wonder why you still get angry. Everything rubs you the wrong way. You still curse here and there. You don't go to church. You're not as consistent. I'm just telling you, if you meditate upon these things, God said, thy profiting may appear to all. No wonder why you're on fire now, brother. No wonder why you're starting to get more involved in church and people are noticing you becoming more of a leader and more spiritually stirred, and sisters likewise for your involvement. Why? Because you're just giving yourself to God a little bit more. You're giving him your body. You're giving him your finances. You're giving him your heart. You're giving him your emotions. On them, just telling you that when you meditate upon him, you spend more time with him, someone else is going to notice that and they're going to be blessed by that. Meditation. Let's go back now to Deuteronomy 17. Now turn your Bible there. Deuteronomy 17. You should be there in the neighborhood. Deuteronomy chapter 17. What are we talking about again? This is part two. Eyes to see, ears to hear. We're talking about reading. Reading. Last week we talked about hearing. Today we're going to talk about reading. Deuteronomy 17, verse number 19. The Bible says here, talking about a king, when he is elected, if you will, to that position, that God commanded the Hebrew king to have a copy of the Bible. And here's what it says. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes, and to do them. That's a great summary verse of our theme right there, Brother Felipe and Giovanni. Reading, hearing, learning to do it. How about that? We can add the fourth there. Reading, hearing, learning to do it. How about that? Okay. So back to our earlier teaching about hearing. Is hearing sufficient enough for your personal spiritual growth? No. You got to read. Personal reading is required of all believers for their personal spiritual growth and benefit, whereby God can teach you individually how to respond to Him in certain ways that perhaps might be different from others. You say, what do you mean, Brother Carlos? It could be, brother or sister, that while you're reading daily and meditating daily, God will teach you something, show you something on what He wants you to do differently for your personal life that will be a help to you to be a better Christian, something He cannot do for you when all you're doing is listening to various pastors and teachers online who ramble off about various subjects and topics without personal devotion. Let me give you an example. 2 Timothy chapter 2, again, I'm just going to show you on the screen for the sake of time. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 7. Consider what I say, and the Lord give the understanding in all things. So you can hear. I don't mind listening to that teaching. I'll consider what the brother texted me the other day, some sermon. Listen, I'll consider that. But then I need to spend time with Jesus. I need to spend time reading my Bible so the Lord can give me understanding on the inside. So friend, what I want to encourage you with, hearing is not sufficient. You have to read your Bible daily. You can't just go off Brother Carlos or whoever you like to listen to. That's not going to satisfy you, and you're not going to learn. God wants to spend time with you personally. He wants to teach you personally about you, things He wants you to do more of, things He wants you to do less of. And you'll develop that personal relationship the more you spend with Him. I'm telling you, He's real. He'll do that for you. Okay, back to Deuteronomy. Just keep yourself there in the neighborhood of Deuteronomy. There's so much good wisdom back there. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 11. Bible says here, when all Israel is come to appear before the Lord thy God in the place which He shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in the hearing. Gather the people together, men, women, children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear, that they may learn, and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law. And that their children, which have not known anything, may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God, as long as you live in the land, whether you go over Jordan to possess it. I already talked to you about this last week, but now let's build upon a little bit more. Spiritual application for you, Christian. Christian, you are to gather weekly in a local assembly where a pastor is present, other teachers, to teach you the Bible, to preach to you the Bible, and to read the Bible in your audience. Not one time in the New Testament is it permitted for believers to simply isolate themselves from the order that God left on the earth for their spiritual growth personally. I went through it, brother. All of these notes right here. Every single New Testament convert, every single sinner that got saved through the apostles' ministry from Rome to Asia, none of them were by themselves. If they were, it's because they were in disobedience. They were all fellowshipping with the church or with a church or with the apostles underneath the hearing and preaching of the Word of God. I got the proof right here. God wants the marriages to be here at church. He wants the children to be here at church. He wants you single individuals to be at church. So that way, the more that you are listening to the Word of God and the more that you are hearing the Word of God being taught and preached, it'll teach you how to fear God. It'll teach you how to obey the Word of God in areas of your life that otherwise, if you didn't come to church, you wouldn't have learned. You wouldn't have obeyed. Now, show me, Brother Carlos, why I need to do that as a Christian. I'll show you now. You can turn there with me, or for the sake of time, just look up at the screen. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4. Let me prove it to you now. This is the same principle. God told Moses, you gather everybody to the assembly, and you read the Word of God. You gather the men, the women, the children. You gather the married couples, everybody. Even that stranger, that guy visiting. Christian, everybody come to church. You should. Ephesians 4, look with me now, verse 11. The Bible says concerning Jesus Christ and the church on the earth, He gave some of the members of this church, apostles, prophets, evangelists, some pastors, and teachers. They go together, by the way, this last gift here. If you want to be a pastor, you have to be a teacher. If you want to teach, you should have a pastor's heart to care for the people, not just trying to, if you will, feed them all this without any care for them. You understand what I'm saying? Look at verse number 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So God said he gave you a pastor and a teacher to strengthen you in your walk with God because you're not there yet. Look at verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints. So you get saved, you trust Jesus Christ in the gospel. Somebody tells you how to get to heaven, be with Jesus when you die. What do you have to do? You got to trust and believe who Jesus is, what he did for you on the cross. So you did. What's next, my friend? Well, you got to get a Bible. All right, got that. Check one. Start reading it. Check two. Pray. Okay, got that. You got to go to church. Why? Because God left on this earth for the church overall men who were gifted with the pastor teaching ability to help you to grow, because you're not all the way there yet to where Christ wants you to be. And it's a progressive state. Much like you mothers, you understand your babies. They started there and then they grow and then they grow a little bit more. It takes time. So likewise, Christian babes, y'all don't grow overnight. You don't become an adult overnight. So the more that you come to church and you're consistent in your church attendance, you're going to perfect things within your life that otherwise you would not have if you were not coming to church. So God gave you a pastor and a teacher to help you to grow, to mature, to come to completeness in areas in your life, because they're teaching you the Bible. You're hearing the word of God. They're giving you the meaning and the instruction, if you will, application. And then number two, for the work of the ministry. That's right, Christian. You're not just called to come to church to sit down in the pew. You're called to come to church now to learn how to work for Jesus. The same way that someone came to your door, someone taught you the good news, is somebody laboring now in the work of service. And now when you come to church, God is going to use these people in these positions to now teach you. Brother and sister, here's what Christ did. Here's some Bible lesson. Now this is how we go out there in the world and reach people. This is how we do it. This is what it looks like now. So every church is different. You understand? I'm just giving you a summary for the work of ministry. And then number three, for the edifying of the body of Christ, for the spiritual growth, the discipleship, the mentorship, the counseling, so all of us can help each other to learn how to be more like the Son of God. You see that in verse 13? So our mission here is not to help you to become a better Baptist, because that's not going to help you to be spiritual. Our mission here is to help you to be more like who? Jesus, the Son of God, because he's the one that's going to help you to be a better husband, a better wife, a better father. You understand? But you can't learn if you don't come. And if you don't come, and you're going to tell somebody, I don't need to go to a church, I don't need to have a pastor, then you're going against the laws of God. You're being disobedient, carnal, and before you know it, you're not going to grow. Now, just bear with me now. Bear with me now. I meet them all the time when I'm out there in the streets preaching, evangelizing, going to the stores. I meet these people who want to be independent, if you will. They live contrary to the will of God. When I ask them, who's their pastor, where do they go to church? You know, they said, well, I just got God, man, you know. It's just me and God, man, out here. This is all my church around here, you know, some whatever they're pointing to the seas of the trees and all that stuff. You know, God left his order for a reason. And when we begin to live contrary to it, it's because we have a heart problem against God's word. So when you say, I don't need a pastor, I don't need a church, I don't need accountability, you're telling God, Jesus, I don't care about the gifts you've given. I can do this on my own. No, you can't. You're going to go contrary to the Bible. Let me show you now Titus chapter 1. We're just going to go through this quickly. Titus chapter 1, verse number 5. The Bible says here, he wrote him. He said, for this cause lift I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting. God places people in people's lives to help what they're lacking. In this case, spiritual leadership for the churches there in Crete. You guys understand that. I'm just giving you some application. Hebrews 13. Hebrews chapter 13, this is going to start getting a little hot, amen, so y'all need to open up them doors. Verse number 17, I hope you came for Jesus. He loves you, I love him, all that good stuff. All right, verse number 17, obey them that have the rule over you. Submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. In other words, God gave you a pastor. He gave you a church. And those who have a spiritual authority over your life, God told you, the church member, you submit yourself because they're watching over your soul. And how are we doing that? Because we're reading the Word of God, we're learning the Word of God, we're meditating upon the Word of God, and then we're instructing you out of this Word for your soul's benefit, not so much for your carnal brother and sister. I'm not here for your money. I'm not here to tell you how to eat and do all the other things externally. I'm here to teach you how you can be more like Jesus on the inside. But when you start arguing with Jesus, Lord, you don't know about Brother Carlos. He's got a lot of mistakes, got a lot of faults. The Lord knew that ahead of time, before you were born, by the way, before I was born. But he gave you a rule, and that rule has to come between you and God as it pertains to your obedience to him in faith and your fear of him to live reverently before him, because that's what he's looking for. And when he sees you doing these things, you're going to see the Lord bless you in your personal spiritual growth, my friend. Verse 24, salute all them that have the rule over you and all the saints. I'm not going to harp on that. You understand what we're trying to say, church, that God left an order for every Christian to be a part of. And when they're living out of that order, they're not going to be blessed. And I think the reason why Christians leave churches, it's not necessarily because of some heretical doctrinal problem they have with the teaching or what have you, but simply a personality issue or carnal faults that they're too carnal to work through and forbear with the help of the Spirit of the living God inside of them. It's because they're too carnal to work through it and forbear it with the help of God's Spirit versus the easy, if you will, reasoning the flesh entices them to just quit. And I believe that it's a problem between them and fearing God. Look with me now one more, Ephesians 5, verse number 21 on this topic. Verse number 21, the Bible says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So when a Christian member has a problem submitting themselves to the spiritual leadership in their church, it's because they lack the fear of God. When a husband fails to fulfill the role that God gave him as a husband to love his wife as Christ commanded, it's because he has a problem with the fear of God. When a wife fails to submit to her own husband in everything in other areas, it's because she lacks the fear of God, so on and so forth. The problem with submission is not a matter of the human vessel, because the human vessel, God explains to you and I that we all come short of the glory of God. There's no one good, no, not one. None of us are righteous enough. You knew that. God credits to every sinner who trusts Jesus Christ's righteousness. We're still not good. It's Jesus still in us. And yet God still wants you to uphold a particular man, or if you will, people in your life with spiritual rule over you, to count them worthy of your honor and submission. Why? Because God told you. That's a command. And when God sees you obeying those commands, he's going to bless you. You're going to grow spiritually, and that's how the Lord is going to perfect you. But when you and I entertain pride, I'm not going to submit to that guy. He's too young. He may not know what he's talking about. All I'm telling you, brothers, be careful, because there's a problem with fearing God. That's all I'm saying. And then you can carry that out in every other role that you have to submit to, the boss at work, your parents, and so on and so forth. Now, going back to Deuteronomy 31, when the Lord told Moses, you gather everybody, where I'm going to set up my name, and that way that you can teach everybody who I am, that they may learn how to fear me. What about Christians? Are we to gather together? Yes. Let me show you now, just again, sake of time. Look up to the screen. Acts chapter number 12. I'm going to show you now from the Bible that Christians are commanded to gather together. I'm sorry, they are commanded to gather together. There you go. Acts 12, verse number 12. Bible says, when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Do you see there? Okay, chapter 14, verse number 27. I'm just going to go through this quickly, so just look up to the screen. Acts 14, 27, the Bible says, when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them, and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. So far, I don't read in the Bible that God wants me to be by myself. As a Christian, so far, I don't read in the Bible where God is going to meet with me by just me, myself, and I behind a YouTube screen on my cell phone or computer at home. No. Gather together with your church, praying, rehearsing, learning. That's what I'm showing you from the Bible. Acts 15, verse number 30. The Bible says here, friend, so when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the epistle. Acts chapter 20, verse number 8, Bible says here, And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. So far, I don't see nobody by themselves isolated. If that still isn't enough proof to you, friend, of why you need to be a part of a church near you, look with me now here in 1 Corinthians 5:4. Bible says, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together, and my spirit, and so on and so forth. I want you to see, the Holy Spirit did not say, when thou gatherest by thyself, you know, the individual. He said, when ye are gathered together, that is, all of you together corporately. Amen. He didn't say for you to be behind a social media cell phone screen by yourself with a Bible that you're going to grow spiritually. No, absolutely not. That's just modern, if you will, 21st century modern jargon, carnal Christian living. God said you're to gather at a local church with imperfect sinners who still have faults, still have offenses, but have a Savior in their heart, have a Holy Spirit in their body with the Holy Bible, that as you guys continue to come together meditating upon that, that's what's going to help you to be more like Jesus, but not by yourself, not by yourself. I'm just showing you now. You say, when, brother, when am I to gather? I know I got to be with a church, but when? Okay, I'll show you 1 Corinthians 16, verse number 1 and 2. Bible says, now concerning the collection for the saints, we're not going to talk about money, even though this is contextually about financial support. As I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, and so on and so forth. First century Christianity, they were gathering, assembling together on Sundays, according to our Gentile calendar. Nevertheless, that's the first day of the week. Now, I don't have time to show you, but in the book of Acts, some Christians were so spiritual. You know how many days they met? They met every day of the week. For how long? A whole year. How about that? Some of y'all can't even just want to hang out with Brother Carlos for one day. I get it. That's cool. I love y'all. Yeah, man. But when I entertain at the barbecue, Brother Philippe comes over. No problem, Sister Maribel. But all I want to show you is this. Verse number one. There's an order to the churches. That's a command. Number two, upon the first of the week, let him, and then there you have it, your gathering. So I understand we can debate Wednesdays for midweek Bible study, Fridays. That's tradition. But Sunday, for sure, got to be a church. Got to be a church on Sunday, first day of the week, and then you can go on, you know, so on and so forth for any other reference. If you want your other reference for the first of the week, Acts 27, I'll just quickly show you because it's pretty good. Some of y'all only want to gather for this, and I'll show you why. Look at verse number 7. Upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, amen. Some of y'all just come for breaking bread, but that's all right, amen. At least you're here, amen. So there you have it. First day of the week, I have to assemble. Why? Because God gave me a command. It's an order. Obey them that have the rule over you. They're not perfect. Christ is. But the word of God is. So when the Lord sees you humbly submitting yourself to that authority, he's going to bless you. You're spiritually going to grow, and God is going to use that to help you personally, because what you're going to be able to do is you're going to be able to put into practice the spiritual laws to help you with all of your imperfections while you deal with imperfect people in your church, because God is in the midst. Let's go now to verse number, where do I want to go now? Let's go to Joshua chapter 8 now, Joshua chapter 8. Joshua chapter 8, so again, back to the Old Testament. We're just going to go from left to right. Joshua chapter 8, verse number 32. By this time, we have the nation of Israel. They're on their way now to the promised land. We already seen that God gave them the laws. If there's a king, got to get a copy of the Bible so that king can meditate upon it. He can learn it. He can teach it. He can do a little bit. Look with me now in verse number 32. Bible says in verse number 32, he wrote there upon the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he wrote in the presence of the children of Israel. And all Israel and their elders and officers, their judges, stood on this side the ark and that side before the priests, the Levites, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, as well as the stranger and as he that was born among them, half of them over the Mount Gerizim and half of them over against Mount Ebal, as Moses, servant of the Lord, had commanded before that they should bless the people of Israel. And afterward, he read all the words of the law, the blessings and cursings according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses commanded which Joshua read not before who? All the congregation of Israel, with the women, little ones, strangers that were conversant among them. So again, what are we seeing? Application, church. You should not be left out of your church assembling when the preacher, the pastor, the teacher is reading to you all the words of God. There should be no part left out from your personal private Bible reading, whether at church corporately or individually. You should not pick and choose what to read, but rather you should choose to read it all as it is. Every word is profitable, not some words. We need all the word to help us grow unto perfection. Simply some words will lack growth unto perfection. And yes, reading even the convicting parts even better. So there you have it. When Joshua read before the people there, he said there was not a word of all that he didn't read. So he read it all. He read it all. So if you want to grow spiritually, read all the Bible. Read all the Bible. How many of you guys read your Bible so far? Anybody the whole way through? Anybody here? Almost there. Almost there. Okay. So y'all can do it. Amen. I know you guys can. I know you guys can. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 22. 2 Kings 22. Amen. And if you guys can just forbear with us, we're just going to go a hair bit over time. Amen. Just to make up for a little bit. And then I sure appreciate we'll call it an end. So 2 Kings chapter 22. Again, we are just talking about the importance of reading the Bible. We're looking at all these verses that are teaching us these commands of how it's going to profit us. 2 Kings 22. A quick backstory here. There was a king that came to prominence. This king had a good heart before the Lord. His name was Josiah. And by this time, the nation of Israel, as you guys can read over and over again their history, they were pretty much living in rebellion since 2 months after law, back there in Exodus chapter 19. And so, nevertheless, as they are establishing their societies, they had a good king and a bad king. There would be a good king and a bad king, a good king and a bad king, and so on and so forth. Well, when the temple would get destroyed by some invading army, the Hebrews would come back and rebuild it. And they wanted to recompense the workers with some money, so they raised up funds to bless those workers for repairing the house, as you guys can see in verse number 6, and the various properties there in Jerusalem. Well, while they were doing some construction, you know what they found? In verse number 8, Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought the king word again and said, thy servants have gathered the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hand of them that do the work, they that have the oversight of the house of the Lord. So now he also brings the book. Look at verse 10. Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest had delivered me a book, and Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass when the king had heard the words of the book of the law that he rent his clothes. What happened? He tore his clothes. Why? Look at verse number 13. He says, go ye, inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book to do according to all that is written, or which is written concerning us. So what happened? It's been a long time since the kings actually had a copy, read it, and then did their best to live, do their society, govern accordingly to the way that God commanded them. As you can see, the word of God was hiding where? In the house of the Lord. It's all dusty, just back there. But as soon as this king heard what the Bible said concerning what was going on in the judgments of God, he humbled himself and said, you better go find that man of God. And you better ask him to pray to God and ask him, what does he want us to do so we can get ourselves right? Because I heard what you said. I heard what you read from the Bible, and what we're doing is sin. God said, don't do that. We did that. And look, we're guilty. So then that's what he does. He goes and finds the man of God. And look at what it says. Verse number 14. Hilkiah the priest, Ahikam, Achbor, Shaphan, and Azariah went unto Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, the son of Tikva, the son of Harhas, keeper of the wardrobe. She dwelt in Jerusalem in the college, and they communed with her. And she said unto them, thus say the Lord God of Israel, tell the man that sent you to me. So now it's a female prophetess right there for the nation of Israel at this time, not necessarily man at the time. Verse 16, thus say the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah hath read, because they forsook me, burned incense unto other gods. I'm just going to paraphrase it. And it obviously provoked God to anger. But now look at verse 18. But to the king of Judah, which sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall you say to him, thus say the Lord God of Israel, as touching the words which thou hast heard. Now listen, church, here it is. Because thine heart was what? Tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardest what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and has rent thy clothes and wept before me, I also have heard thee. So what happened? How did God bless that king? Because he heard the word. He read the word. He humbled himself before God and doing his best to get his life in line with what God commanded him on what he needed to do. And you know what God said? I heard that. You read everything I already foretold my people, the judgments, you know, the cursings. As soon as you read that, it touched your heart and you're seeking me, the lawgiver. I'm going to bless you. What's the lesson? This is what happens when Christians fail to go to church, read their Bibles. As soon as they attend one that actually preaches and teaches the Bible, it will expose the sins in their life that they were ignorant of or failing to check with God to see if their choices were right or not, and they get convicted. Thankfully, this king humbled himself before God and chose to find out what he needed to do to help rectify his life and the people's. But unlike some Christians today who hear what the book says about their life and yet rebel anyways for wanting to learn and be zealous and hungry to do that which is right, if only more Christians were humbled enough to actually search the scriptures to learn if their way of living is acceptable or not before the living God, we can be more blessed of God. So what happens? Some people don't go to a church. They don't learn how to live right for God. And all of a sudden, they start hearing command and command and command. And there's two things that can happen within that heart. That heart of that individual who hears and who's being taught and they're actually reading, they can say, wow, Lord, I am so sorry. I have been wasting all this time drinking, not going to church, not reading my Bible, not taking this seriously. Lord, would you help me? I'm ready to start today. You know what God will hear? He will see your tears. He'll see your heart of humility, because as soon as now you're willing to respond to his word in faith, he's going to start blessing you from that day moving forward. Your heart will be better than the brother or sister who's been coming to church who hasn't been doing what you just did that one night. The people who just come and they hear it, they're religious, but they don't have a heart of humility to seek him wholeheartedly. That's even worse, friend. So I'm just telling you, what we need to do is as we're hearing the Bible, and perhaps it begins to show you certain things in your life that are going contrary, you need to try your best to get it right with the Lord, and the Lord will bless you. All right, we're almost done, and we're going to close in a couple of minutes. Almost done. Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8. You say, where is that? It's in the Bible. You're going to start reading, amen. You're all going to get spiritual tonight and say, Brother Carlos, we're going to start reading our Bibles every day. Amen. That's good. Nehemiah chapter 8, in Spanish too. Amen. There's some right there. Very unique here. Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah is rebuilding, if you will, the Jerusalem and the temple because, again, God was judging the people. A foreign nation would come in, judge them, haul out everybody. And then they'd get back because God was merciful to him. And so now here we have Nehemiah, one of the greatest men that lived before the Lord in the Old Testament times. And the Bible says here, all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday, before the men and the women and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. Now, friends, some of you can only last for 30 minutes. It's kind of sad because some of you used to be more excited for a concert, used to be more excited for a soccer game, a football game, a baseball game, and yet when it comes to church, for some reason, your flesh man says, I'm ready to go home, I'm tired, 45 minutes, boom, I'm good. Can I just tell you something? Thousands of years ago, before Facebook, before social media, a man took the Bible with no amplification. He read as loud as he could. Men, women, children, Bible says from morning till midday. Let's just say for the sake of time, he started at 8 o'clock. 9, 10, 11, 12, 4 hours. And you know what the Bible says? The people's ears were attentive to the book of the law. So what does that tell me? It's not about your circumstances, it's not about your environment. It's a matter of the heart. You guys could come to church every single service with eagerness to learn the Bible, and that's what's going to make you separate from everyone else around you. Or you could be a modern day Christian who begins to get distracted, playing video games on your cell phone, and before you know it, you didn't even hear anything, you didn't learn anything. Why? Because your heart wasn't attentive upon your God. What am I just trying to tell you? As long as I'm here, we're going to keep reading. We're going to keep teaching. We're going to keep preaching. But it's not going to be beneficial for you, like Hebrews 13 said, if you don't come with a heart to be attentive to learn. So now, here we have it. Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood. This is old school. This is where this came from, by the way. The inspiration, right? Pulpit and all that stuff. Which they had made for the purpose, and beside him stood Medaliah and all these great men. They had his back, if you will, the elders and the leadership there behind Ezra's back. Verse 5, Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. That's kind of an elevated place as he's teaching. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up of their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And then fellow men, look at here. The Bible says here, all these great guys, Jeshua, Bani, Shedabiah, Jamin, Akub, Shabbatiah, so on and so forth. Look here. Those guys cause the people to understand the law and the people sit in their place. I'm waiting for the day to see a brother Giovanni over here, a brother Felipe over here, maybe one day Javier over here, maybe some men over here to say, as soon as we come to the house of the Lord, we're all going to take the word of God. Amen. And we are going to instruct you out of the book of the law. We're going to teach you. We're going to help you to have the understanding. And even if it's a Felipe with his wife at home or a Giovanni with his wife at home or someone out there, I'm looking forward to the day when I know that I got great men of God who have my back to want to help the Christian learn how to be more like Jesus, who can take the same law, the same book, and give the instruction to the people so they can understand it. Look at verse number 8. So they read in the book and the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and cause them to understand the reading. That's, by the way, for you, pastors, teachers, and some of you are husbands. You and I are commanded to teach and to give the sense to help people understand what it is that we are teaching and preaching to them. And so, notice the Bible says they read distinctly. They gave the sense. They read it carefully. Why? It's the Word of God. I want you now to think about that next time. Some of us, you guys revere text messages when they come to your cell phone. You revere certain information being sent to you or communicated back and forth between you and loved ones, family, and friends. How much more so when you and I handle the words of life, that we're careful. In other words, when we're about to crack this bad boy open, you tell your children, you put that phone away, we're going to stop watching those movies, put the video games away. Why? We're reading the Word of God. We all need to hear the Word of God. It doesn't matter, brother and sister, if you might not understand what is that doctrinal understanding for the moment, if you will, teaching. That's why you keep coming to church. Brother Carlos, help me understand this context so I can teach my wife. That's okay. I'm there to help you, brother. But when you go and you have that private time with you and your family, with you and your loved ones, shut off all the entertainment. Put it all off. Focus and say, we are going to read the words of the living God. And here's what our God said. Thus saith the Lord. Start reading it. You know what that's going to do to the heart? It's going to begin to teach the heart of your children, your spouse, to revere God. And it's going to begin to move them to want to fear God and begin to shape, if you will, their attitude and their heart response to every decision that they make. We should consider God. We should consider God. Before you know it, conviction's going to set in. Before you know it, you're going to need to want to read the God every night before you go to bed. More important than the family, friends, the party, and so on and so forth. That's important. A few more and we're almost done. Look at Nehemiah chapter 13, verse number 1. The Bible says here, on that day, they read in the book of Moses in the audience of the people, and therein was found written that the Ammonite and the Moabite shall not come into the congregation of God forever. You know what the benefit of reading the Bible is for yourself? You will learn what's right from wrong. You will learn truth from falsities. You will learn how to judge between that which is clean and unclean, and that's all of our spiritual duty to do. We're almost done. Isaiah 34, 16, sake of time, just look up to the screen. Isaiah 34, verse number 16. The Bible says here, this is a good verse. Isaiah 34, verse number 16. Bible says, seek ye out the book of the Lord and read. There you have it. What do you want to do? I'm tired, but why don't we read the Bible? Before we watch that movie, honey, before we go on that walk, before we walk our little dog, why don't we just read some scripture? Before I go do my liberties and do what I want to do, hey, why don't we just read some Bible? We did our grocery shopping. We took care of the debt because Brother Giovanni, Felipe, myself, we went to work. We got to pay the bills. Sister Aileen went. She held it down. We did the work for the mammon. We need to pay our debt. We did all that. We ate. We did all that. We took care of our hygiene. What do we do now? Why don't we seek out the book of God and read? Bible says, and none of these shall fail, and so on and so forth. I'm just telling you, you're going to be that much more blessed. I'll read you these last ones. Jesus said in the New Testament, have ye not read multiple times, 1, 2, 3, 4 times, did ye never read in the Scriptures 2 times? Have ye never read more times? Let him that readeth understand. What can I safely say as we close for today's sermon lesson on reading? You got to read the Bible. That's the only way the Lord is going to help you to have the understanding privately and personally in your devotion to God. And when the Lord sees that, that's what's going to help you to continue to grow spiritually with him, because the Bible is a living word, Hebrews 4. It's a living word. This thing is alive. It will have a tremendous impact within your conscience, within your psyche, within your subconscious, within your whole being, when you give yourself wholly to them, as 2 Timothy 4 stated earlier. And church, the more that you give yourself wholly to them, what did God say in the New Testament? Your profiting will appear before all. So then that's going to be my answer. How do I improve my marriage? Seek out the book of the Lord and read. How do I preserve my purity before I get married? If I'm single, seek out the book of the Lord and read. How do I learn how to become a better church member? Seek out the book of the Lord and read. How can I learn how to be a pastor or a deacon? Or how can I learn my spiritual gifts? Seek out the book of the Lord and read. What does God want me to do with my money? How does he want me to dress? How does he want me to raise my children? Seek out the book of the Lord and read. There's nothing wrong with calling Brother Carl and saying, hey, what do you think about a situation? I'm going to say, here's what I got from my human experience, but I have something better. Why don't we seek out the book of the Lord and read together, so that way you and I can see this is what God would have us to do. And if you do it, you know the Lord's going to look at that humble heart like you saw in the king, and he's going to bless you. So in the end of the day, we need to read. What did we learn? Is hearing enough? No. We have to read. We have to read. And he wants all of us to be reading together. He wants us to come corporately together as a Christian church. He left us an order on how we can learn, if you will, within our roles, gifting, to help the body of Christ, if you will, generally and then individually. And the more that you avail yourself to learn the Word of God, my friend, it is going to profit you. It's going to begin to change your life. It's going to begin to show you things that are wrong in your life. It's going to show you how to get right in your life between you and God and others. I'm telling you, that's what's going to help you to be more Christ-like. Other things are not going to help you to do that. It's going to come down between you and God and that private devotional between you and the Lord. And I will give you my last verses. Acts chapter 8, and we're going to close in prayer. Acts chapter 8, here's the benefit, friend, when you start reading your Bible more. Acts chapter 8, and we're going to come to a close in prayer. Look with me now in verse number 28. There's a fellow by the name of Philip, great Christian man. God told him to go somewhere over here to go preach, so he did. Bible says in Acts 8:26, the angel of the Lord speaking to Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. So far, obedience. Behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem for the worship. So here's an African man going to Israel to worship the God of Israel, Jehovah. The Bible says he was returning, verse number 28, sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophets. We have the word of God. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near, join thyself to this chariot. Philip ran thither at him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? He said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And he was reading the place of Scripture in the book of Isaiah. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth? The eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee. That's just an old school way of saying, I'm asking. Of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Oh, this is my last thought. Reading the Bible personally, repetitiously, will help you to discover we're to preach Christ from anywhere in the Bible. Philip did. He was reading the Old Testament. He preached Christ to him. The more that you read your Bible, you'll be able to find Christ in any of those pages of Scripture. You can preach Christ from Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, 1st, 2nd Samuel. You can do it. But who's going to give you the understanding? Jesus, 2 Timothy 4, when you read. Holy Spirit is going to remind you when you read. Holy Spirit will open up your heart and your mind when you read. But just like we learn in Psalm 19, is your meditation going to be accepted before God? When you do ask God for that wisdom, does he see that you truly do desire it, or do you still desire something else, right? So today, moving forward, not yesterday, not earlier, right now, moving forward, you and I can start today being better. We can ask God, God, give us a desire to read and give us a heart to be submissive to the order you left us at church so I can learn, so I can grow. And when the Lord sees that humility like he saw in that king, he's going to bless you for it. Before you know it, the more you start reading your Bible, no wonder why your spouse is so happy more and more blessed, because you're profiting her with your godliness for those of your husbands. And then likewise, wives, for those to your husbands, you're more godly, you're more spiritual, you're more submissive, you're more loving, you're more forbearing. Why? Because you're spending time with God and you're reading of the Bible. Same thing with all of us here. So church, hope that was a blessing. If anyone has any comments, questions, feel free to hang out a little bit. And with that said, let's go ahead and close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for the Bible. And I thank you so much for those who came to church tonight. I hope tonight, God, there was something instructive, something that was able to edify the saints. Lord, as you taught us in Ephesians 4, the purpose for us coming together to use these gifts is to help every single one of us to be more like you, Lord Jesus. I do not want them to be like me. I don't want them to be a disciple of some church tradition. I want them to be a better disciple of you, my Lord. So that way, when they go home in the privacy of their heart, for those that are married, for those that have an employer, for those that are single, anywhere they go, they can be a reflection of you. They can walk more in holiness. They can be more godlier and more sincere and more charitable and more loving and more kind because they're spending time with you, reading the Bible. Lord, would you help us all tonight with desiring to read the Word of God? We all have a flesh. We all battle with this nature that does not want to read. It doesn't want to focus. It doesn't want to pray. I know we all have to struggle to get this thing to where it needs to be. But I know, God, that when you will see that, like you saw in the king's heart, humility, I know that you'll provide that spiritual energy, that spiritual help to get us there. And Lord, for brethren and sisters who are lacking understanding, you taught them tonight how they'll get it, and they know what they need to do. You will give them that understanding, God, when you see them wanting it sincerely, reading your word. So tonight, God, I thank you for all those that came to church. Would you increase now within every single member here desire for the word, a desire to hear the word, and then ultimately that it will cause them to want to do what the word says. So that way, God, our church will be known for our love for the Bible, our love for Jesus, God, so that anyone who comes here can be benefited by a Felipe or a Giovanni or anyone, because now they're too going to be seeking the book of the law, the book of the word, to read it, to help anyone who comes to those doors with what God said. So Lord, I thank you for what you're going to do, and I pray that all these things will glorify you and help us to be more like Jesus. And it's in Jesus' name we say, what? Amen. Church, I love you all. You're my friends. Care about you. Hope you have a good rest of your night. Amen. May the Lord bless you.